Okay, praise the Lord. Welcome to the Living Savior Church today. Good to have you. Praise the Lord. There may be some of you that still don't know what has happened to the family in the last week, but we've been fighting the battle. And this part of the battle, we don't usually contend with much, but we've had a real attack from the enemy. In other words, y'all all know we got a critter out there we call the devil, right? Yeah. And he come to do what?
Kill, steal, destroy.
Yeah, he come to steal, kill, and to destroy. Amen. So God gave us weapons to fight him.
Yeah.
And we've got to know what those weapons are. And if we don't, we get killed.
Yeah.
Because he come to kill, steal, and to destroy. And I don't like any of that. So I thank the Lord for his power and his greatness that he gave us these weapons. And the one weapon that we're going to use today is Luke 10, 19, and 20.
Amen.
Some people, I used to read that. I had no idea what that meant. I would read it over and over and over. Behold, I've given you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, rejoice not that these spirits have to be subject to you, but rather rejoice because your name is written in heaven.
Amen.
And I would read that and I think, what does that mean? Every time I would read that and say, I've given you power to step on these scorpions, and I think, what is a scorpion? Every time I would think about that, I would see a physical creature. Well, that wasn't what he was talking about. The scorpions and serpents that I'm fighting may not look like a scorpion that crawls on the floor, but it might. You can't tell. But anyway, those creatures are here to kill us. Those demons, those Satan and his host of demons. So I've learned the principles that works, and I use them all the time, and I get results every time. One of the things I've learned to do is whenever we pray is you always use these weapons, because if a weapon is not being used, if you go to war and you don't take a weapon with you, chances are you're not going to last very long. You're going to get killed by the enemy pretty quick. So you need to be trained to know that he's there, and that he's come to steal, kill, and to destroy. And if he gets any kind of legal right, through any kind of sin, he will really torment you. So as Dave was talking a minute ago, how many people do you think if we were just to check everybody, we would just say, how many of you, first of all, we could start out with pastors. Most pastors, if you ask them, do you know that you're as righteous as Jesus Christ? You know what their answer is?
No.
Oh, no, you're mistaken. Nobody can be as righteous as Jesus. Well, I'll have to agree that's true to a certain degree. If you try to do it on your own, you can't be. But when you realize the King, he did it for you, and that he's given that power to you. So when you speak in Jesus' name, and I'll have to say I won't use the man's name, but I was watching a TV evangelist this last week, and he was preaching on unforgiveness. And whenever he come to a point there in his sermon, he just turned and looked at the camera and put his finger right straight out. He said, "Brother, if I forgive you for your sins, you are forgiven." And I thought, boy, and then he walked on over there to another place, and he turned around again, and he said, "And if I forgive your sin, you are forgiven." But he never did use John 20, 23 to say, the scripture says, whosoever sins you forgive, they're forgiven. Is that a pretty good weapon? That's a weapon you can't live without. That's like one of your special weapons. If you've got that weapon, Jesus clearly, he told his disciples, whosoever sins you forgive, they are forgiven. Is that what he said?
Amen.
Then why do we not believe that? Because most people don't believe it. Most pastors don't believe it. I mean, I have asked pastors, when I first started reading the whole Bible and trying to stand on the promises of God, I would look at that and I'd think, you know, what does that mean? And so I'd go to a PhD or something and I'd ask them what it means. And they'd spend 30 minutes explaining away what God said in one line. Whosoever sins you forgive, they're forgiven. So anyway, one day I decided, Lord, that's got to mean what it says. It's written in your word. So that means that's a weapon that I can use against the enemy. So whenever I see somebody that's got a problem or somebody's sick or has a need, I mean, it can be anything. You're trying to sell your house. You can't sell your house. It won't go. Satan can hold that back where you can't sell that house as long as he's got legal right. And so when you learn that these weapons are yours, and you can take these weapons like Luke 10:19-20, and you can say, okay, so let's say the problem is somebody's got a house they want to sell, and they put it on the market, and they really need to sell it. They've got another house in another city. They've moved to a new job. They really need to get rid of this house. But everything they do, they cannot. They've prayed. They've done everything, but the house is not selling. The enemy is blocking that, and you don't even know who you're fighting against. So the thing to do is you grab that devil, you take the word of God, and you say, Satan, I want you to know that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm a son of God. I have all of my sins remitted, and therefore if they're remitted, they're remitted. And now you have no hold on me. So in Jesus' name, I command every spirit of curse to come out of you, come out of your house sale, to go away, to get out, in Jesus' name, I will not take no for an answer, devil, do you hear? Because it is written in Luke 10:19-20, I've been given power over you. You have to obey me, and you have to be subject to me. I mean, just get down and tell him what you want, because you're sitting here, and your big brother Jesus is standing right beside you. He's also in you. And whenever you say, now, devil, get out, and we're going to sell this house, it's going to go, and it's going to go today or tomorrow in Jesus' name. Now, Satan, get your filthy hands off of this in Jesus' name. And tomorrow, the house sells. You have no idea how many people I've done that for and with in the Metroplex when they say, well, yeah, I moved here. I'm a new person for this company, but I can't sell my house. I can't sell the one where I was up here. I can't find one down here. I said, yeah, have you prayed about it? And guess what they all say?
No.
No, I never prayed. I never thought about praying. How many things did God tell us to pray over?
Everything.
So what's left out of all?
Zero.
Ain't that something? We get beat up on by the devil all the time because we don't stand on God's word. I mean, we need to stand on his word. And when you take the promises, these weapons, you tell that devil to get out, and he has to get out, and you have no idea that. Even right here in this church, you have no idea how many people that come up here and needed a job. And just like a young man over here that lives over here on the south side of town. And I know him, and I've known him for years. One day I happened to pull into a place, and he happened to pull in there with a buddy of his. And I said, boys, how are you all doing? And they said, well, he said, Thurman, we're really not doing too good. There's been some rain and stuff and everything, and we're heavy equipment operators, and we need a job. And I said, well, have you guys prayed about it yet? And guess what their answer was?
No.
No, never thought about praying for a job. I said, well, you know, I've told you boys to go to church, and you won't. I've told you to tithe, and you won't. But I'm telling you, I'm going to show you what God's going to do for me. Because I go to church and I tithe and I believe the word of God. So I said, Father, in Jesus' name, I remit these boys' sins. Now I command these spirits of curse to leave these boys. And Lord, you said in your word in John 14:13-14, I could ask you for anything and you'll do it for me. Did he say that?
Yes.
So why can't I come boldly into the throne room of God and say, okay, Lord, I'm a son, I got power. I ask you to give these boys a job. Thank you, Lord, it's done. I said, boys, you got a job. Just go out there and look. Guarantee you'll find one today. Those two boys drove back. They left within an hour. They came back. And one of them said, my God, Thurman, I got the hair standing up on my arm. I said, what do you mean? He said, it hadn't been an hour. When you prayed, we went out, and the first man we stopped and talked to, he had a job opening for both of us. We got a job. What can God do?
Anything.
So what is wrong with us? We're not using these weapons that he's given us. And in our lives, in mine and Cheryl's life, just last week, her daughter was attacked by the enemy. I mean, she's that girl. She takes care of her body. She's got a perfect body. You know, I mean, she's slim and trim, and she eats right, exercises right. I know I've been to dinner with her and her husband several times, and I know what she eats. And I mean, she is a very well-disciplined young lady, and she's beautiful and everything. And the other night, in the middle of the night, she had a brain bleed and a stroke. I mean, at 50 years of age, unbelievable. But it was so bad. And in fact, they were on the way to the hospital whenever they called. They're in Florida. Her husband's working some claims down there in the insurance business in Florida. And whenever all of a sudden she woke up and she couldn't stand up and she's crazy and falling down and everything, man, he panicked. He did the best he did to do is call 911. And they sent some people out that didn't understand the body. Well, they called us and told us that she's having a stroke. And so Cheryl said, I'm going down there right now. So we get up and get her stuff ready right quick so she can go. As she gets ready to leave, we're praying. Of course, nobody has to tell me to pray when somebody's having a stroke. Amen. And the first thing I do when somebody tells me they're having a stroke is remit their sin. So how many people have you run into lately that has no sin? Most of them that are Christians in the church, they don't even know that Jesus has done what he's done. Everything Dave just told y'all, most Christians that I know don't know what he just said. They don't believe that they're the righteousness of God in Christ. They don't believe that. If you don't believe it, ask some of them. You will find out that they don't believe the Word of God. You have to believe. Does our God say over and over and over when you pray, believe?
Yes.
If you don't believe with no, how much doubt?
None.
If you don't believe with no doubt in your heart, what's he going to do?
Nothing.
He is training you and me how to be overcomers.
Amen.
If a few of us get kicked out or lost done through this process, he don't like that. He don't want it, but he's going to train us, and some of us are going to get killed. Because we don't get in the Word of God and study the Word and know what's ours. So anyway, as we start down to the airport, Cheryl, we've got our flight at 3 o'clock in the morning when they called us and said that she's having the problem. So we found a flight that left at 7:25. So we got up and got her stuff and we're on the way down there and we get over here about 1:14. And somebody, Eric, I guess he calls her and tells her the doctor said they got to do a surgery immediately, and from the looks of it, she may not make it. Now, is that what you want to hear?
No.
Nobody wants to hear that. Cheryl, my bride, which is a really good faith woman, she lost it. That's her baby. Don't tell me she's going to die. She starts screaming, Tiny, pray. I said, will you please sit down and shut up? I have already prayed. I've already remitted their sins. I've remitted her sins and Eric's sins. I've stood on the Word of God. I said, now then all we need to do is praise him. The answer is coming.
Amen.
We don't need to pray again. We just need to praise him.
Amen.
I'm using the weapons of God's Word.
Yeah.
Behold, I give unto you power to kick out these devils. So if I remit their sins and command, and I know Luke 10, 19 and 20, and I remit their sins and command those spirits to leave, what has that beast got to do?
He's
got to leave. That's right. He's got to leave. And so it ain't no telling how many times he may try to come back and get in there because the enemy don't give up easy. He never gives up easy. He's going to do everything he can to get you and to take you down. I mean, he'll do everything possible, and we don't realize what we're fighting against and the weapons we've got. But anyway, Cheryl, she come to her senses. She said, honey, I know it. Forgive me. Lord, forgive me. I know he's right. I know what the Word says. But for a few seconds, she lost it.
Right.
Is it easy to lose if it's your baby?
Yes.
Especially when they say you're fixing to die.
Yeah.
You know, that's just the way it is. But you can't go there. I remember this Betty Baxter testimony back here.
Yes.
Little 10-year-old girl.
Yeah.
Her mother had prayed and asked God, and she stood on the promises of God.
Yeah.
She asked the Lord to let her little girl live. Now, she's got knots all over her body. She's awful looking. If you've never seen that testimony, you ought to see it.
Yeah.
But that little girl, she got worse and worse and worse. And, of course, they took her to Minneapolis where they lived, to the hospital, the finest hospital, and it was in intensive checks. And they checked everything, and when they finally got through, they said, "Miss Baxter, Mr. Baxter, it's over. Your daughter might live to be 10, but she's going to die, and there ain't nothing we can do." And everybody gave up but Mother. Mother is the only one. She said, "I'm standing on God's promises. He made me a promise, John 14:13-14, I can ask him anything and he will do it. So he cannot lie. So I'm not giving up. I'm standing on the promises." Now that takes a real woman of faith to do what she did.
Amen.
So she lived for a few months, and then the doctor came in one day and said, "Ms. Baxter, I'm sorry. You can quit praying now. Your little girl is dead." What do most people do?
Let it go.
Oh, they fall on their face and start crying, "Oh, God,
yeah.
Lord, what happened? You promised me, Lord, what happened? My baby's dead." She stood up and she said, "I don't care what you say, Doc.
Amen.
The Lord promised me that I could ask for anything and he'd do it, and I've asked him to give my daughter a wonderful life of preaching the Word of God. I know he's going to do it in Jesus' name." You talk about a woman of faith.
Amen.
Betty, which is in heaven, walks into the kingdom of God, and there stands Jesus. "Betty, I'm sorry, but you can't come in yet because of your mother's prayers. You're going to have to go back and wait a little while longer, and next, in the fall, I will come and completely heal you. Just go remain faithful." And so she opened her eyes, and she's back at laying there, and she says, "Mother." And the mother says, "I knew Jesus was going to do it. He had to do it. I'm standing on his word." Do you see a warfare going on here?
Yeah.
This enemy's doing everything he can to kill this little Betty Baxter, just like the devil's trying to do everything he can to kill Christy.
That's right.
He's trying everything since he can get to Christy. He knows if he can get her, he can get to Cheryl. I mean, that's the way he's going to do it. But we fought the battle. And we've stood on the God's word. We used his promises.
Amen.
And when you use his promises,
yeah,
what happens?
It shows up.
It shows up. I guarantee God shows up. He always shows up. But what if they call you in the middle of the night and they say your baby's had a stroke and whatever, and the doctors have checked her, or maybe they already had done the surgery, and the doctor said after doing the surgery, "It's over, I'm sorry, but she'll be dead by morning." Do you know how often that happens?
A lot.
And it happens to Christians.
A lot.
Because we are defeated because we don't know these promises, and if you don't know those promises, you can't stand on those promises. You've got to know those promises. When you pray, when you speak his word, you've got to stand on his word. No doubt in your heart. None. So in the name of Jesus, like right now I'm going to say, "Father, in Jesus' name, you clearly said in your word that if we forgive anybody's sins, they are forgiven." Is that what he said?
Yes.
So where is it found? John 20:23. You know that. So we remit Christy's sins, we remit Cheryl's sins, we remit my sins, we remit Eric's sins, all the whole family, we remit everybody's sins in this family.
Amen.
If we remit the sins of everybody in this family, are those sins forgiven?
Yes.
Yes, they are forgiven. Now then, since we've done that, how much power and authority do we have over the devil?
All.
We have all power. So if we have all power, the Lord told us clearly to take his word and throw that devil out. He said he has to be subject to you in my name.
Yes. Yes.
So when you tell the devil and his host of demons, Satan, you must leave Christy's body. You must get away from her. You must leave her alone. You must get away from Eric, her husband, and leave him alone. You must go away and get out of Cheryl's life and quit tormenting her. And Lord, in my life, get out of me and go away and leave me alone. because I know your ways. I know you would love to destroy this little ministry. We're not a very big ministry, but we're a dangerous ministry. We get lots of people set free and healed and delivered, and I know the devil would love to destroy this ministry. Well, I got news for him. It ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. So when we speak to the devil, he told us to come into the throne room of God when we need help. Absolutely bold as a lion, and tell that devil what to do, because we're on the same side with Jesus.
Right.
He's not against us. He's for us. He's our daddy. He's our brother. He's our Holy Spirit. He's our comforter.
Yeah.
He wants us to learn how to be an overcomer, and that's what we're doing. So we kick out the devil. We tell him what he's got to do, and to go away and to not come back. And if we've remitted sins, he has to go away. He has to stay away. And then we pray. And every once in a while, the devil will find another little loophole somewhere. And it's so easy. He knows exactly who to get to. And he knows, as a rule, usually it doesn't make any difference. I mean, I just hate to say that. But as a rule, whether it be the man or the woman or whatever in the home, most of them are so well not equipped. They don't know the Word of God. Just like a while ago, I was talking to one of the ladies here, and I said, when she first came here, a couple of years ago, Cheryl came up to me that Sunday, and she said, would you go over and pray for her? She's got a cold or something, runny nose or headache or whatever it was. And she said, will you pray for her? I said, sure, no problem. I went over there and laid my hands on her, remitted her sins, kicked the devil out, and I said, now you're healed in Jesus' name. And I turned to walk off. And I said, remember, You must not doubt. You have to believe. And she said, Thurman, I believe. I'm standing on your faith. I believe. And before she got from where we were back there at the back to the front, guess what? The King had already done for her.
Healed her.
Had already healed her. He wants you to stand on his word. He's training you to be an overcomer.
Amen.
When you speak in Jesus' name, that devil needs to know that you're alive and well.
Yes.
I don't care whether you're big. It doesn't make any difference whether you're a mighty man of power. When you speak, there's only one thing in the world that's powerful, and that's the Word of God.
Yes.
And if you know what that weapon, that Word says, and you know those weapons that are in there that you can remit those people's sins, just like that preacher the other night, I mean, that TV evangelist, I was just watching Daystar, and he had a program come on, and he was talking about unforgiveness. And I thought, this is interesting, because everything he said was right, according to God's word. And all of a sudden, he just turned and looked right into that camera and said, I forgive your sins. He said, if I forgive you, you are forgiven. I thought, boy, there ain't many of them do that. But he did. He knew that if he forgive you, that it was forgiven. He knows the Word of God. He's been in the business a long time. If I forgive your sins, are they forgiven?
Yes.
Yes. You don't have to go nowhere else except right here. You can get anybody that's a Christian that knows who they are in Christ can forgive your sin. Now then, once you forgive the sin, quickly, after you forgive somebody's sin, you take the Word of God and you throw that devil out, right?
Yeah.
Because guess what's going to happen if you wait a few minutes?
They're
going to sin again. Is that true?
Yeah.
I mean, if Romans 14:23 says anything that's not of faith is sin, you know how long we probably go without sinning? Not very long. It's unbelievable. But I can't say anything because in my own life, I think about how many years I've been struggling with fighting the Word of God, studying the Word of God, spending hours and hours and hours and days and weeks and months in the Word of God. And then one day, I can remember a verse that somebody told me years ago. You know, I said, I don't think that's written in the Bible. I don't ever remember seeing that. And they said, oh, yeah, it is. And in fact, he said, I wrote it down. This is where it's at. I looked at it, okay, so I opened my Bible, turned over there, and I had it highlighted, starred. Ain't that something? Have you ever done something like that?
I feel
like most of y'all, when you laughed at yourself. Because you thought, well, turn it to me just alike. But that's the way it is, you know. I mean, you may look at something and God give you a revelation and wisdom of what this verse means. And man, you highlight it and you star it and you zoom, you do everything. But if you don't go back there for a year or two or something, it gets away from you. So that's why you have to stay in the Word. I mean, stay in the Word. So whenever you have an encounter like we had the other night with Christy, I told Cheryl, as she's getting ready, I said, I just lay back down there on the bed, and I said, Lord, I thank you that you give me the power to remit their sins. Because I know they got sin. They're human beings. Do you know that?
Yes.
They have sin. How many times have you ever done a stupid thing like you get mad at somebody? You try your best to not get mad at them, but they do something that just turns you off. And to walk away from something like that is difficult. You want to retaliate, do you not? In fact, that's what causes so many fights and brawls and everything. People get mad at each other. Let me tell you one the other night that you talked about something that's the craziest thing I ever heard of in my life, about losing it. I had a pastor come here the other day to the last season school. A couple of months ago. And he's a police officer, or he was a police officer. He's now a pastor. He was called out one night on a call. And when he got there, the father in that home and one of the daughters in that home were sitting at the table eating, and the daughter reached over and forked something in her daddy's plate. And he slapped her and knocked her plumb away from the table. And they had got up and had a knock-down drag-out to the point they had to call the police.
Oh, no.
A father and a daughter. This is what would have happened to me. If that had been my daughter, and I'm sitting there having dinner with her, and she even looked over my plate like she might want what I got, I'll hand her the whole plate. Wouldn't you do that for one of your children? I couldn't believe when he told me that this man slapped his daughter, knocked her down. His own daughter. I mean, that just goes to show you how low we can get. I mean, as he told me that, I was sitting right beside him in a restaurant, so I heard him real well. And I told him, I said, you know, Pastor, for my children and my grandchildren, just like last year my grandson wanted something. I don't even know what it was. But it cost quite a bit of money. Cheryl came to me and she said, I know you put a limit of this much on your children, your grandchildren's Christmas. But Preston wants this. And it cost almost double that. What do you want me to do? I said, Lord, I just got one grandson. Just one. Rest of them are granddaughters. I don't know what they might want, but since I've only got one grandson, I said, honey, I don't care what it costs. Buy it for him. That's the way I am. If my grandson wants something and I got the resources to buy it, I'm not going to hoard my money because if my son comes to me and even thinks about needing something, I'm here to help him. Cheryl said, you know, you'll do anything for your son. I said, I thought that's the way it's supposed to be.
Amen.
You know, now if Baron come and ask me for something, he ain't my son. He's my friend. He's my friend, but he ain't my son. So I might not get quite as quick to give him the same thing as I'd give Tim. Do y'all understand where I'm coming from?
Amen.
If that's true, then if you would give your children good things, if Baron asked me for something, I'd give him something good too. Isn't that what, no, what I'm trying to say? He knows that too. He knows I'd give him whatever I got. But the thing about it is, you need to know that if that's the way you do business, then your Heavenly Father knows you so much
better.
Yes. You can't even imagine how good He is. You can't imagine if you will walk in obedience to His Word and stand on these promises. And that's what He wants to see you do, is stand on His promises. Believe. That's what He wants to see you do. And if you do that, then whenever somebody has a need, like Christy and Eric the other night, I mean, after I told Cheryl, after she lost it over here at the freeway, I told her, I said, you've got to believe. I said, honey, you know He's a faith God. And without faith, it's impossible to please Him. So if we know that, the more of the Word we know, the more we're going to do what He says do. Is that right?
Yes.
Because if we do what He says, just like Jenny told me the other day, she said, Pastor, just recently, I have prayed for two women that had, I think it was Lyme disease. It was either Lyme's or had cancer or breast cancer or something. But she prayed for them and taught them what the sin was. And when those people repented of their sins and she prayed, two ladies just recently had both been completely healed because of Jenny's prayer. Just think, if you know something, how many people could get healed? Just like the other day whenever I was watching the news and they got the pink deals out, breast cancer.
Yeah.
Send your money in for research for breast cancer.
Yeah.
I don't need to send the money in. I know what causes it.
That's right. Amen.
But they don't believe you, do they? It's amazing. Let me tell you, if you haven't never tried this, when one of your friends calls and says, I've got bad news, I've got breast cancer, tell them, I got good news.
Amen.
I have the best news there is. I'm going to remit your sin because you've got a sin against a female. You've got some female somewhere that you're not getting along with. And, of course, they'll know that.
Yeah.
They'll say, oh, my goodness, what's that got to do with it? Everything. Everything. So we command that spirit to leave. We remit your sins. We command that spirit to leave. Now then, after we committed that spirit to leave you and go away, I reach in and I say, Satan, I break your power with this woman. I break the curse so you have no legal claim. Now get out of there and stay gone in Jesus' name. Now, Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you to send the Holy Spirit and touch this woman and completely heal her body from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. Now, Lord, it's done. She's healed. Call us with a praise report. And that's what they do. And with Jenny, she was just on top of the world. She said, you know, it's getting where nearly every woman I pray for that has breast cancer gets healed.
Amen.
Isn't that something? Here, a little 33-year-old girl has the answer to breast cancer. And what is it?
Unforgiveness.
Remitting sins. Kicking out the devil. If you don't know to kick out the devil, he'll hang right on and he'll take that woman right on into death. He'll kill him. Because he has some kind of legal claim. This is a war we're in, ladies and gentlemen. It's not just something accidentally. This is a war we're fighting. And that devil is doing everything he can in these last days to destroy the church and destroy those that know something about his word. I couldn't believe it when I turned the news on the night before last that California is burning up.
Yeah.
I mean, I couldn't believe when they showed the pictures. I mean, it looked like, in fact, they even said on the news, it was the worst fire burn they ever have had in the state of California. They've had some whales of fires out there. But this year, this is the worst one they've ever had. That's just like, I remember Eldon, when Eldon was still alive before he went home to be with Jesus. One night, him and some of his buddies were up in the mountains of Idaho. And all of a sudden, they looked over there, and there is a fire. And the tops of those trees are 30, 40, 50 feet tall. And there is a fire, and they're way up there in the middle of those mountains, and they know there ain't no way they can get out of that mountain ahead of that fire. That fire is going to consume them. So how many times have you heard Dave say you have dominion?
Yeah.
Have you heard Dave say that?
Yeah.
God gave us dominion. Eldon was a young man that knew the Word of God. So whenever that fire started to come and everybody panicked, Eldon just stood up there, walked up to the edge of the ridge, said, "In the name of Jesus, the King of Kings, I command that fire on those trees to go out now in Jesus' name." And the fire just turned off, just like you turned the gas off to it. Was that a young man that knew his power?
Yes.
He knew his authority?
Yes.
Wonder how many people knew that this time. Probably none of them. It burned the city down. The city of paradise. The little city of paradise in California literally burned the city to the ground. The whole city was destroyed just last week. Jesus said these things were going to happen. And he said, as you see these things happen, look up. Your redemption draweth near. Jesus is coming soon.
Amen.
You need to know who you are. You need to know so you can remit sins. If you've noticed, the enemy, he's really been trying to get to me and Cheryl, because up until this last week or two, we've had every Sunday, we've had testimonies. And lots of testimonies. We're getting people healed. And here's the thing we do. Every time we go to pray, answer an email from one of these people, the first thing we do is we remit their sin. After we remit their sin, we command the spirit of curse to come out of that person and go to the abyss. Once I remit their sins, they're forgiven. They're clean. They're washed in the blood. So when you know that and you learn that, you can kick that devil out. And then you can get that person, you can take that devil, and you can command that devil to leave and go away. And then you can ask the Lord to send the Holy Spirit to heal or meet whatever need it is. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
And then you pray the prayer of faith for them. Yeah. Just like this, last night I had a little girl. She said, "Pastor, I need you to pray. I can't sleep. I wake up several times a night tormented and can't sleep." I wrote her back. I said, "You got a demon, honey." "No problem." I said, "Make sure you're walking holy before God. I'm going to kick that devil out of you, and I guarantee you're going to sleep good every night from now on." So I kicked out the devil, prayed the prayer of faith for her, and said, "You'll be fine. No problem." I bet you I've done that to a half a dozen women on the internet in the last few months. And every one of them so far has come back within a day or two or three and said, "It's unbelievable. I slept beautiful last night." How much power and authority did he give you?
Oh.
So if I've got all power and all authority against the beast, why should I be afraid of the beast? Why? Why do we go into panic and hysteria and need help? Because we don't know the word. Do you all understand where I'm coming from? You need to be in the Word. You need to be obeying the Word. Because the devil, he knows what you're doing, and he's got a team of demons that he sent to watch over your house. And if you're not doing everything God told you to do, he knows. And so whenever the battle starts to come up to a head, the enemy will step right in and say, "You can't answer his prayer. He's living in sin." That reminds me of that little girl, 13-year-old girl, that would kick the demons out of that time. And this one, only one man, I didn't understand demons very much back in those days. But that little girl, the one thing that was so awesome, when they tried to comb her hair, it was matted terrible. But as that man said, "That's a demon," I thought, "What is he talking about? That's a demon." He broke the curse and commanded that demon to leave that little girl's naughty hair. And her hair fell down into silky threads. Soft. When the demons left. And I thought, my God, I never seen such a thing as this. I had no idea of what demons can do to you and how they can mess up your life, how they can mess up your physical being, and how they can do all these things. But during that little deliverance, that one pastor. This went on for a couple of days. The one we did out in Silver City for lasted 7.5 hours. That's the longest one I've ever personally been involved in. But this other one had went on 2 or 3 days, but I wasn't involved in it personally. But they were trying to get these demons out of this little girl. And this one pastor that was having all the luck, he got tired for a minute and he told everybody, said, I got to take a break. So he backed off over there and sat down. And one of the other pastors said, that's simple enough. I can kick these devils out just like you did. I saw what you've been doing the last couple of days. So he said, I command you to come out of her in Jesus' name. And that devil and that little girl just turned his head around, looked at her, looked her right in the eye, and looked him right in the eye and said, I don't have to obey you. You're sleeping with your church secretary.
Oh, man.
I don't have to obey you. You're sleeping with your church secretary. You think they don't know what you're doing? When you go to fight and do power with the devil, you better make sure you've got your sins confessed and you know you're washed in the blood.
Amen.
If you don't, they'll hurt you.
Yeah.
Wow. They will kill you and destroy you. So don't go there. Make sure you know that you're clean and pure and holy, that you're washed in the blood and you're not walking in any kind of known sin. Because if you are, they will hurt you and they will hurt you bad. I mean, that's just like that demon out there in Silver City. When I couldn't get that on that demon, when I commanded that demon to come out of that little girl and that beast manifest, I mean, it was awful to see what happened. But I told him, I said, you have no legal right to her. You have to come out. He said, I do have legal right, and I am not coming out of her. I said, you're lying. You're a liar. He said, I am not lying. I have legal right. So anyway, I said, well, if you have a legal right, what's a legal right? You have to tell me. He said, when she was 11 years old, she joined the Rainbow Girls. When she joined the Rainbow Girls, that opened the door for us to come in. So we've been here ever since. I said, well, how many of you are there? They said, 2,823 of us are in here. 2,823 demons inside that little girl. So I said, well, I'll call her back up and I'll have her confess that sin and then I can cast you out. And then she did this. She said, we are so interwoven in her brain, you will never be able to get us out. We will never allow you to get us out. I said, well, we'll never let her confess sin. We are in control of her brain and she will not be able to repent. I said, well, in that case then, I'll take John 20:23. And I'll remit her sin. And she jumped back and she said, almost nobody knows that verse. And those that have read it don't believe it. I said, but you're looking at a man that knows it and believes it. So I said, in the name of Jesus, according to John 20:23, I'll remit her sins of joining the Rainbow Girls. Now then, you have no more legal claim to her, so I command and demand in the name of Jesus Christ, you come out of her and go to the abyss and never come back in Jesus' name. And them demons started just leaving like crazy. For the next few hours, what a deal it was. But we kicked every demon out of that girl and got her set free. Just like Christy. I don't know what the sin was in Christy and Eric's life, but let me tell you what. If they're normal human beings like the rest of us, there ain't no lack of sin in everybody's life. You tell me, think, well, like Dave said yesterday, why do bad things happen to good people? I got the answer. There ain't no good people. I mean, there is no such thing. Jesus was asked that question, was he not?
He was asked
that question. He said, there is only one good, and that's God. So if you think you're going to get away because you're good, you can forget it. You know, there ain't no good people. So when somebody says, well, you intimidate me, and when you say I got sin in my life while I'm sick, it makes me mad. Oh, I'm sorry. Listen to what I'm saying. Repent of your sin, and you can get healed. But we've all been down that path. If you don't think I understand how this works, just ask me. I can tell you. The reason is because I've been down there and done it. I've had all those sins. Everybody else has. You've got sin. If you're going to pray for somebody, make sure that you take these weapons that we have and come down on the enemy hard with the Word of God. Quote the Word of God to him. Tell him. Somebody said, yeah, I don't like it if you put your hand on me and say, I command you, devil, to come out. If they say that, I guarantee they got a demon. The demon is doing that to you, trying to get you to feel bad so you won't cast them out. Don't listen to that devil. Don't listen, because that's not the human being that's talking. That's the devil. I mean, everybody that's got a demon don't want the beast. You want him out, right? But if you don't get rough, they are slick. They really are smart. And they've had a long time to study mankind. A long time. And so you, in the flesh, you are none. You can't do nothing on your own. Without Jesus, you can't get them set free. So you make sure that I don't care who it is, whenever you have a problem, whether you're going to pray for Christy, don't just pray and ask God to heal her. If you're not taking the Word of God, yesterday at the healing school we used the scripture, Jeremiah 1:12. Does anybody know what Jeremiah 1:12 says?
God watches over His Word to perform His Word.
Absolutely, that's exactly right. God watches over His Word and He's ready to perform His Word. Now, if you pray for somebody and you have no word in you and you're not using any weapons of any kind, chances are you're going to get very little from God. And that's not what you want. You want Him to answer your prayer. That's why when you walk into a place where some people that really know who they are, I mean, they know how to come down on the devil. They know the Word of God. They're sitting there quoting. You're hearing these people saying, now, the Lord, in Jesus' name, according to this scripture, which says this, or this scripture which says this. When you're quoting that word, and then you're praying for somebody, like Christy, or Eric, or Cheryl, or me, or yourselves, or anybody, if you use the weapons that He give you, you can be an overcomer, and you can get God to answer your prayer every time. But after you've done it for a little while, you'll get to the point where that you will expect it to happen. And that's where we all need to be. So we need to get to the point where that we can say, Lord, just like Cheryl this morning when I talked to her, she said, honey, I really want you to pray today about this center out here in Colorado, that we'll be able to get into that. And I says, no, I will not pray for that. She says, what are you talking about, honey? We need the best. I said, hey, the best is we already got Him. We already got the best doctor in the world. So we don't really want to think about somebody else. We don't want to think about sending them to California or Colorado or wherever. We want, Lord, we want Your best for Christy. We rebuke the enemy, kick the enemy out. We want Your best. We want You to do the greatest works. And what I want is to see her jump out of that bed and run around and put her clothes on and to get that gown off and, you know, able to run around like any other woman. And she don't need that. She don't need that gown because she ain't gonna be in the hospital having no knees. That everything, the trach is taken out of her, and her lungs are clear. Of course, you know, right now we're praying for her lungs to be clear and her lungs to stay clean and clear. I mean, she has no problems with clear lungs. But we've asked for that. We want the best.
Yeah.
We're standing on the promises of God, and we want Jesus to do it all.
Yeah.
Unless He comes on the scene and says, now, I'm telling you, you need to have the surgery. Then if He doesn't say that, then I think that we ought to learn to stand on His mighty word, because I know He can do anything, ladies and gentlemen. There's no problem with Jesus being your doctor and letting Him do everything and everything. If He tells you to have surgery, and sometimes He will. I know a pastor that lives over here on East Texas. And he turned on the television one day, Christian television, and there was another Christian pastor on there. And the Lord spoke to that pastor and told him, said, call so-and-so. He told him the name to call. And he said, tell him he needs to get down to Houston to have a heart surgery now. And I thought, why? Why in the world would God, which can heal that heart problem in a heartbeat, He can put a brand new heart in there. But all I got to say is, if you're dealing with God and He tells you, and you know it's Him,
yes, it is,
and you know He tells you to do something that's contrary to what you think, and we're, just like I told Cheryl, I said, for Christy, we're going to pray that the Lord's will be done. And if we have to go to another rehab center, then He will put us in the perfect one for this job. But I'd rather just see Him say,
that's it.
It's done.
Yeah.
You can put her clothes back on her, get her out of that bed, and tell her to walk in obedience to my word, and I will show that girl and her husband my power.
Right.
Can he do that?
Amen.
See, that's the way you need to learn to pray. But I remember, I learned that the hard way. There was a young lady and her husband over at Louisville when I went to Lakeland. They had three children, three little boys. And these three boys got playing in the drainage ditch around behind the house. And it had been raining, and the water had quite a bit of water in places in that ditch. And that little boy, he fell in that water and went under, and they couldn't get him out. So the two other kids ran to the house to get mother and brought mother out there, and there he was face down in the water. And immediately she started praying, "Oh God, please just let him live." That was her prayer. "Oh God, please just let him live." And guess what? That's exactly what happened. He lived for 10 years. He was just a 3 or 4 year old boy. He lived for 10 years and then he died. And I remember her giving the testimony after he died. She said, "I learned something through this. I've been taught now in God's word that anytime I pray, I need to pray for what I want." And she said, "I prayed that the Lord would only let my son live." And said he lived for 10 years. And then he died. She said, "Next time, if I ever had to go through this again, I would ask the Lord to forgive our sins and to heal my son and make him supernaturally perfect and well in Jesus' name." Because is he a faith God?
Yes.
Does he give you exactly what you ask for?
Yes.
So if you're asking for him just to let him live, what can he do?
Just let him live.
That's not what I want. I don't want just let Christy live. I want Christy to be fully recovered beyond, in fact, the doctors so far, the two that this morning and yesterday morning, they couldn't believe the results they saw. They just can't believe it. What does that sound? Who's that sound like showed up?
Jesus.
I mean, you don't get those kind of things in doctors, supernatural, I mean, world-renowned doctors. You don't hear them make statements like that very often.
Nope.
Never saw anything like this. That girl is recovered. This is the girl that last week we said wasn't going to make it through the night.
Right.
And look at her now. She's up, standing up in a chair and all kinds of stuff. Getting around and wanting to go somewhere, wanting to do something. I thought, that's exactly the way I prayed for Caitlin. Lord, I want everything in her body to be perfect. I want you to raise her up, do such a mighty work on Caitlin that everybody will have to know that only you could have done it. And let me tell you something that it hadn't happened in a while. But probably for 3 or 4 years after Caitlin was raised from the dead, I would have a parent or both of them call me and say, "Thurman, the doctors at Cook's Medical Center said you could pray a prayer of faith for healing of your granddaughter, and we want to know if you'll come down and pray for ours." And guess what? Every one of them that I went down to pray for, the first thing I did is use these weapons. Very first thing, I took these weapons that we got, the Word of God, and I tell the people, "We have a sin issue here, so I'm going to break the curse. And I want you and you, the husband and the wife, to get in a love walk with each other and promise God that you will walk in love with each other and you will do everything God's word says." And they said, "What's this got to do with it?" I said, "Everything." I said, "God's word means what it says. I mean, it says what it means. It means what it says." So, and they would do it. And I'd say, "If you want your son to live," in fact, I had a lady just the last couple of weeks ago, she said, "Do you really think that every time a child is sick, it's a problem with the parents?" I said, "I guarantee it."
Absolutely.
Yeah, you agree with me on that 100%.
They ain't old enough to see it.
Yeah. But we've seen it over and over and over. So the thing about it if you remit their sins, just like I did those people. I've done this just a few times, three or four times. But every one of those people that I prayed for their children that were in Crooks Medical Center, after I found the sin and remitted the sin and cast out the spirit and prayed the prayer of faith, the child lived. In fact, the other night, I thought about this the other day at the fish fry. It was just a couple of weeks ago. We had a fish fry right over here. Well, 5 years ago, we were having fish at that same place. And a lady and her little boy, Boy Scout, walked up to the end of the table and looked across at me and Cheryl. And she said, "Mr. Scrivener, my husband and I will love you forever." I said, "Well, what did I do for you?" She said, 4 years, or 9 years ago, she said, at that time, she said, 9 years ago, I called you and asked you to come to Cook's Medical Center to pray over our baby son, which they said wasn't going to live through the night. She said, "You didn't even know us, but you so graciously drove all the way to Cook's Medical Center, and then you walked into our room, and one of the first things you said were, 'Are y'all Christians?' My husband said he was a Catholic. You ask him, 'Did he go to church?' And he says, 'Very little.' And you ask him, what was the second other question? Anyway, I asked him, do you read your Bible? He says, 'No, we never read the Bible.' I said, 'Sir, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?' He said, 'Yes, I do.' I said, 'Okay. This is why this is happening. You're a son of God. You're not spending any time with God. You're not putting him first. And he wants you. He wants you to spend time with him.' And I said, 'You're not doing that.' So I said, 'He's going to take away from you your son, so you'll know what it feels like, because you have taken yourself away from him.' He said, 'I never heard anybody say anything like that.' I said, 'Sir, do you want to live? Do you want your child to live?' He said, 'I'd give anything if my child lives.'" Does God know how to get your attention?
Yes.
So I said, "Well, just repent and tell him you're sorry and that you'll start spending time with him. You'll read his word, you'll go to church, and you'll tithe." He said, "Lord, I'll do all those things." I walked over and laid my hands on that little boy. I said, "Lord, thank you for healing this little boy. Thank you for your word." I turned and walked out and didn't see him for 9 years. But 9 years later, which was over here at the fire hall, that's when that woman walked up and told me that this boy standing there with her was that boy. And he's 9 years old. And that's when she told me, she said, "Mr. Scrivener, my husband and I would love you forever." Isn't that something? Does God love us? If we will obey him and do what he says, will he give us power to do great things in his name? Yes. If you get into faith, there's nothing impossible with God. Nothing. I want to reemphasize one more time. Anytime you start to pray for somebody, the first thing you want to do is remit their sin. Right? Remit their sin. Get rid of their sin. Have them confess their sin. Get rid of their sin. You, as you start to pray for them, claim the redemption from the curse. "I'm going to redeem these people from the curse by the blood of Jesus." Do all those things. And then as soon as you've done that, take the demons that are there that are in there and command those demons to leave. Quote Luke 10, 19, and 20, and demand and command every spirit of curse to come out of that person, leave them, and go to the abyss and never come back. In Jesus' name. And if you do that in faith, they have to leave. And then you can break the curse over them. You can pray the prayer of faith for them. And then you can say, "Lord, I've laid hands on them now. Thank you for healing this person or delivering this person," or whatever the need was that they had, that the devil was blocking it. You can kick him out, and then you can see great things happen. You can see houses sell. I mean, you can see all kinds of stuff. It'll happen. And then people get well supernaturally. Don't go down the road for a few days and everything good's happening, or then all of a sudden something bad comes up Don't fall apart and fall back into the trap of the enemy. He's trying his best to make you look at what you see on the outside, and you can't tell what's on the inside. But God's in there working, making sure everything's going good, and you got into unforgiveness and unbelief, and when you did, you're going to lose that person. So don't let him do that to you. Do you like Betty Baxter's mothers? Be willing to stand on God's promises, I mean, even unto death and beyond, if you really want to see the glory of God. Can God lie to us?
No.
He cannot. So don't let the enemy deceive you. Learn how to stand on these principles. It makes no difference what it is. Stand on the Word of God, and then you can see great things happen. Wow. So that's why I believe that when I asked the Lord to put Christy where she needs to be, not someplace in Colorado. I don't hear it may be the most world-renowned, best place in the world. There may be a place down the street in Florida that God wants to take her to heal her. You can't tell. Oh, Lord, may your will be done, and you put her where you want her, that the process that comes out of this will glorify you. I mean, if God instantaneously healed her of everything, it would glorify him a whole lot more than it would be if you took her up and stayed her in a center in California, in Colorado for 90 days or whatever. If you were to take her up there, then everybody's going to say, well, didn't they do a great job? Look, she can talk, she can sing, and everything. Oh, they're so good. They're world-renowned. Hey, if she can talk and run and jump and play and everything, who's going to do that healing? Jesus Christ, it ain't going to be them doctors in California, Colorado, or nowhere. It's going to be the King. So at whatever rate of healing she gets, always remember, don't glorify the doctors, but we will. I mean, that's what people will do. They'll give those doctors the glory when the doctors really are not the ones that heal. Jesus is the only healer you'll ever find. Okay? Okay. Now then, I think I'm talked out. Praise the Lord. My prayer warriors, stand up. Prayer warriors, I want y'all to stand up. These are the people, if you need to be prayed for, you need to find one of these. And if you want to give a donation to the ministry, the box over there on the wall. If you need any CDs and DVDs, they're all around the wall. Take all you want. We don't charge for nothing. Just get what you want, take them home, and learn how to stand on God's principles. Okay?
Amen.
Okay, you're dismissed. Praise the Lord.